and welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week is part two of our interview with Blue Toon legend Martin Babbage. In this part, Martin discusses working under managers Ian Stewart, Steve Patterson and Neil Cooper, working with Rory McAllister and his decision to leave after 10 years.
We'll talk about Ian's first full season in the 04-05 season. Got promotion. I guess before the season started, the target was to get the division, was it?
Yeah, it was. And, you know, Ian and Paul both had, I mean, they're great guys and did a very clear picture of how they wanted to play. You know, it was a big back four. You know, Craig Tully came in to play right back and Robbie Rayside and Mark Perry in the middle and Ian Good is just a big 6 foot plus back four, just you defend boys, don't worry about scoring goals, don't worry about coming forward, just stop the ball going in into our goal. And with Paul Mather's in goal behind him, Paul was as good a goalkeeper as you'd come across. He was phenomenal. So that was a really, really sound base. A couple of scary characters there, you know, Big Tulls, he would across him, that was for sure. He'd kick you in training and his own teammate. He was an absolute machine, but no, that whole back four, I mean, terrific. And then, you know, you go in the middle of the park and David Hagan and Jamie Buck and Keith Gibson, Graham Sharp, really solid midfield filler. All sorts of types of players, you know. Jamie and Gibby in the middle, both good passers, you know, worked hard. And obviously, Higgy played Rangers and Falkirk, and career spoke for itself. And Sharpie was kind of a young flying machine that played on the right wing. And up front, we had Scott Mickey, Martin Wood, Bobby Lynn, and myself. And we had plenty of options. It was a really good team. And we got off to a good start. And again, incredibly fit season, really, really organised. The training, Ian's training was first class. I mean, really, really, really good. Probably as good as I've had, if I'm truthful. And we just had a good group of players that were fit, focused, and yeah, it wasn't a surprise we got promoted that season.
Brent obviously had the money and were throwing it about. Can you kind of stuck with them for a long period of the season, but do you think it was inevitable that they were going to win it?
I think it probably was. I mean, we got to a game. I think if I'm not mistaken, we played them probably just after New Year up at Peterhead, and we beat them 2-1 or 3-1. And they'd made a couple of signings. I think they'd actually signed Steve Tosh, and they signed a centre half as well from Carlisle. I think he came from Carlisle. And you know, big money players, big signings for the kind of league that they were in at the time. Yeah, we beat them, and I think that rattled our cage sufficiently to think, wait a minute, we might not actually win this league here. And I think they went out and spent a fair bit of cash in the January kind of period, and that just bought them that extra quality and extra depth in their squad that ultimately took them through to the title. But yeah, I mean, we pushed them a hell of a way that season, and I thought for large spells we were the best, you know, the best team. It didn't work out like that, obviously, at the end of the season, but I was never really in any doubt with the start we had that we would get promoted.
I was about to say, because you look at the way the league table finished, I mean, we finished 27 points ahead of Cowdenbeath, who were in third. So, I mean, if you take Gretna out of that, you know, we probably would have romped it.
Absolutely romped it. And yeah, I mean, everybody was at the kind of peak of their form, I think, that season. You know, there was real good competition for places all over the park. And like I say, Ian and Paul had this really structured, really organised, really fit. Training was interesting. You know, it was always different. There was always a different aspect to it that kind of kept your interest. Like, say, you'd put on extra sessions, you know, these optional sessions that I was talking about. You wanted to go because it was enjoyable. It was a place you wanted to be. So, no, we did really well, but we just got pipped at the end, unfortunately.
Was that one of those kind of things you look back at the end of your career and think, I didn't have a league winner's medal? Was that something you maybe miss out on?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I said when I left Peterhead to go to kind of Inverurie at the end was, you know, I've played in the Football League for a lot of years, 15 years in the Football League, and had some terrific times, played in a lot of big matches, scored a lot of kind of important goals and interest, you know, in games, and I've never won anything. You know, realistically, you're not going to win the Scottish Cup, you're not going to win the League Cup. The Challenge Cup that existed for all the kind of non-Premier League teams, that was fine, but whilst you were in Division 3 and 2 at the time, you're not really going to win it either, because one of the full-time First Division clubs will win it. So you really are fighting for the league championship every year, and only one team can win that. I think, you know, there was an Aberdeenshire Shield, I think we played in the first couple of kind of seasons I was up at Peterhead before we dropped out of that. But, it's probably something that you could have spent your whole career in the Highland League and won umpteen league titles and cups and all the rest of it. But I got a buzz from playing at the best level that I could. Obviously, with the kind of things I mentioned earlier about still wanting to be kind of an important player and all the rest of it, so within reason. But you know, I wanted to push myself to be, you know, the best third division player I could be, best second division player I could be, and if, you know, if we'd got into the Championship or League Division One at the time, you know, the best I could be in that league. So I don't have any regrets, and that would be nice to win a few more trophies over the years. But I thoroughly enjoyed the kind of time I had in league football.
So obviously we get promoted then. Ian's sort of plan for the following season, again, was that to get out of the league, or was it just to maintain the league status for at least a season?
I don't actually know what his aspirations were. I don't think he necessarily shared those, but obviously the way that it panned out, you know, there was Betna that were still doing what Gretna did at the time, and you know, like Morton, and who was the third? There was a third full time team at the time, and we competed all the way through, and that was the season. I mean, that was probably the best season as far as kind of performance levels went. I think we were fantastic for a part time team. You know, based up in the northeast, you know, with the logistical challenges that brings for getting players in and the likes, you know, to do what we did that season was an incredible achievement, and you know, really, really Park Thistle. That was the other team, obviously, because they were the other team that picked us in the playoffs. We were fantastic, and again, it was just, you know, fitness, and it was organisation, and it, you know, it was quality of players. I mean, we brought a guy in that year, Kevin Nicol, I think his name was, midfield player, and you know, to supplement what we had there already. I mean, that guy came in, I know he's from Hibs, but he was an incredible player, and we got him in at Christmas time-ish, and it was just a kickstart for the, you know, the second half of the season to give us a real push, and you know, everybody was performing out their skin. Some players were maturing. It was just a phenomenal effort. And you know, you look at teams like Morton. I think we beat Morton. If we didn't beat them every game we played them that season, we certainly beat them more than we didn't. And you know, Partick Thistle, similar, big club. Gretna, obviously, we had our battles with over the course of the season. But again, they'd gone and strengthened with players that shouldn't have been playing at the level that they were at the time. But obviously, for various reasons. So that was a phenomenal period, that championship, kind of almost championship sort of period the year before, and then it goes straight on and make the playoffs and come within 30 seconds of a second back-to-back promotion was, you know, was incredible achievement, and still sticks in your throat a wee bit to this day.
I was going to say, we should probably mention it, and as you said, it does kind of stick in the craw a little bit. Look at the league results prior to the two-legged affair. We beat Partick Thistle three times that season. So did you just go into it thinking that it wasn't in the bag, but you were almost favourites?
I think we fancied ourselves heavily. I had a bad injury. That's what the year I did my Achilles and kind of came back towards the end of the season. I did my Achilles, I think I did it kind of November time, and it was probably out for October time, sorry, and I was out probably through till back end of January. It wasn't the one that needed kind of surgical. The second half of that season was a bit slow for me because I was recovering for that horrible injury. I'd gone and watched a number of the games. Boys had been phenomenal during that period and really, really kicked on. And I think we went into the Partick game pretty confident that we could get a result. And went down there in the Tuesday or Wednesday night, and we won the game 2-1, I think.
2-1 doing that, yeah.
Scored right at the end. I remember it was a good goal, kind of throw in, and I managed to turn the defender and just sort of get out my foot, just bend it into the post, and good goal. Couldn't actually believe it. It was a bit surreal, kind of happened in slow motion. And I remember at the end of the game thinking, that's us, we've done it, we've gone up. And I remember we had a photograph, and the papers came over, and Sharpie and I had both scored that day, and they took a photograph of us, and we were probably a bit stupid, a bit naive at the time, you know, kind of giving it the yes. And Jamie Buckingham came over and says, hey, job's not done. And he was right. But we were up on the Saturday, and or the Sunday, was it? And I scored within 15 minutes in the game, put in clean through. Big crowd up at Balmoor, and scored to put us 3-1 up in aggregate. And at that point, you're thinking, definitely done now. And they got a goal back, and it became a bit of a, you know, a ding-dong for the rest of the game. And I remember we missed some awful chances that day. And just one of those things, like, it was just one of those games where it just wasn't going to go our way. I mean, remember one roll across the box, Martin Wood, you know, he slid in to kind of finish it, but I think he made contact with the ball. It looked like it was just out of reach, but it was one of those ones that was trickling along the kind of goal line. And on another day, you know, it either goes in initially from the shot, or you know, Woody manages to get on the end of it. And I know he came really, really close. And there was a number of other chances. Scotty Mickey had, I remember, he had a couple of chances. We'd one that came back off the bar, and it felt like it was just a tapping, and it didn't go in. And you're kind of thinking, why was this is not going to be our day, even in extra time when everybody's cramping up with chances. But they scored with a free kick, I think it was. 30 seconds from the end, and horrible, horrible feeling. And took us an extra time. We saw that through, and then obviously the penalty kicks. It's a bit of a lottery, and how we didn't go up that season is beyond me. It's hugely frustrating, but incredible achievement to get there. If you don't think of it as an incredible achievement, you kind of think of the disappointment that obviously you felt at the end of the season when you didn't quite get there.
We talk about things not going your way. I mean the equaliser probably summed up the whole game, you know, with the massive deflection.
Yeah, that's right. It came off somebody back, didn't it? And looped kind of sent the goalie the wrong. Yeah, remember that. It was frustrating day. And you know, how things could have been different if that either of those two bits of misfortune hadn't gone like this.
As you said, the big crowd, what was it like playing in a crowd that size in Balmoor?
Aye, it was great. It was great. I've got a picture, it's actually just sitting behind me just now. When I scored, it was obviously going towards the kind of road end and the little bank that kind of sits on the opposite side from the main stand. It was just full of people that day, and of course I've scored down that right side and sort of spun off and celebrating. You just see a picture of everybody kind of jumping up and down behind us. And I know it was absolutely brilliant. Just a pity the crowds couldn't be like that every week. What a boost it gives people, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. obviously dejection not getting up, but into the next season, got off to a slow start, and Ian was unfortunately sacked, which I think a lot of people even now still think was a little unfair.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It was a slow start, I think, brought about by, you know, the unbelievable success that we'd had in the previous two seasons, and maybe became a bit of an expectation that we'll get promoted this year, and it was a slow start. But yeah, when he lost his job, it was a bit of a shock. You know, he'd heard rumours, you know, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks kind of prior to the date, but you're thinking, nah, no chance. No, not with what he's done in kind of previous seasons, but right enough, he obviously lost his job, and yeah, that was a real blow for a lot of us, and it didn't end great, but you know, he did phenomenal. He did absolutely phenomenally well as manager, and yeah, really I know, and a lot of us really sorry to kind of see him go, and think it was premature for sure, but these things happen.
Do you think with how well we did the previous season, he deserved more time to turn it
around? Oh, definitely. Absolutely. I think it was October time that he got. I remember we could beat 1-0 for Cowdenbeath, or draw with Cowdenbeath 1-1, and it was after that game, and it was just, I often used to travel down the road with my dad in the car after the games. He'd come to games, and kind of news broke that Ian's been sacked, and you're like, nah, surely not. And of course, it was true, and I thought he deserved more time for sure, to kind of not even stabilise the ship, because it wasn't unstable. It was just maybe not as good as it was in previous years, and expectation levels have been set. You know, victim of your own success, perhaps. But shame, disappointing for him, because you know, I knew him well at the time. I obviously spent time with him, travelled with him in Inverness, and so spent time with him at Peterhead, and you know, thought of him as a friend as well as obviously a manager. I know he had to distance himself a wee bit more and when he became manager, but disappointing, shame for him, and sorry to see him go.
Did you guys kind of look at each other as kind of players, I think, and maybe we've let him down a little bit?
Possibly, yeah. I think you do tend to, when you see managers lose their job, you do tend to reflect and say, well, could I have done more? I think I'd done personally really well for Ian in the main. I don't think we'd done that badly that season. I just think we'd had, you know, incredible highs of the previous season in particular, and that's really kind of cost. That's really cost him at the end of the day. You know, rightly or well, wrongly, in my opinion. But you know, he'd obviously it was a decision. I suppose that's what owners and chairman and that are paid for. Is, you know, they've got to make decisions, and you know, and on paper, the decision that they made might have been harsh, and you know, in a lot of people's eyes. But you know, you're bringing in a guy at that point, Steve Patterson and Neil Cooper, who have an incredible track record, and with the aspirations that the club wanted, you know, had at that time. You know, there was talk of potentially going full time or partially full time, and you know, taking the Inverness / Ross County model, and you know, looking to really progress up through the league. So, you know, you're thinking harsh decision, but you know, if the club is going to kick on and Steve could replicate the successes he had at Inverness, then you know, is it a good move for the club? You know, difficult to say right and wrong. You kind of make these decisions, or that's your role, to make these decisions as chairman, and they're difficult ones. And you're never gonna please everybody. Not everybody's always gonna agree with the decisions you make, but it's your position to make those decisions and stand by them. And like I say, disappointing for all the players, but clearly a bit of a direction that the club wanted to go in. And as we know, it didn't really pan out like that, but you know, again, it could have gone a different way.
So Steve Patterson and Kevin, as you said, off the back of maybe not doing it as well as Aberdeen, so was he any different as a man or as a person from when he was at Inverness?
Yeah, I think he was slightly less relaxed when he was at Peterhead. If I'm honest with you, he was hungry for success. I think he'd had the glory days at Inverness. He'd had a bit of a setback at Aberdeen. Again, I didn't think he was given enough time, you know, there either. But you know, he had a bit of a setback, and he was determined to make a success of Peterhead. You know, he saw a real opportunity to, you know, to regain his own buzz, to really build something special at Peterhead. And I think the main difference is when he did it at Inverness, he'd obviously built it from the very bottom, and he probably had a little bit more time to get the foundations right at the bottom with Inverness before progressing. Whereas with Peterhead, he's kind of coming into a team that's not in the bottom league. It's in this, you know, the third tier as it was at the time. And, you know, there was probably more of an expectation straight off the bat than there was maybe at Inverness. So he probably had to get things done quicker than maybe he did at Inverness. But yeah, he definitely less relaxed is what I would. But I would say about his time at Peterhead.
Well, Vark, I heard the stories about him, you know, naming the team on his way up the road, or kind of turning up just like 5 minutes before kickoff and things like that. Was that kind of almost kind of the start of the slide for him, you know, on a personal note?
No, I don't think it was. No, I don't think it was. I mean, he was like that at Inverness. I mean, there's stories about, you know, time at Inverness that still make me laugh to this day. They're just absolutely brilliant. They're just him. It's what makes him, and it's what makes people love him. It's what makes people want to run through brick walls for him and do well for him. So no, I would say all of those stories that people have heard, I would guess most of them are probably true. You know, he was like that at Inverness, and he was hugely successful, and he had a good network of people that kind of worked with him and understood the nuances of Steve Patterson. And like I say, I can't speak highly enough of the guy. And so no, I mean, even, you know, Peterhead, I don't recall any real massively shocking moments or surprising moments at Peterhead where you're like, wow, what's happening here? I mean, there was the usual stuff, you know, there was the comical side of it, you know, there was this, you know, being late for games and stuff like that, you know, usual stuff, but none of the really funny things that, you know, I can think of when I think of Steve, you know, and you think of, you know, funny things that have happened over the years and encounters you've been in with him over the years. The Peterhead situation, you know, there was Steve being Steve, and, you know, his timekeeping wasn't the best, and, you know, nothing. But I don't think it was a slide, you know, because I think he's maintained his style all the way through, and it's been successful for him in places and not so in others. And yeah, like I said, I can't speak highly enough of him.
How would you sum up his time there then? Was it, I know you said he probably didn't get enough time, but was it a frustrating time?
Changeable. I think, you know, when he came in, you know, there was a talk of the full time, and, you know, I remember we signed that a couple of Polish lads, you know, the goalie and Mikhail and Kozy, the striker. And, you know, there was a number of players came in. You know, probably one of the things I always think of, and I've probably experienced it to kind of comment well on it now, I think when Steve first went into the Highland League, sorry, the lower leagues of Inverness, you could probably take a Highland League select, particularly from Inverness, you know, your Carlies, your Thistles, your Clachs, your, you know, Forrests and Nairns and Broras and all around that area. You could cherry pick the best of the Highland League. And a Highland League select, you know, would do well in that third division. Especially then when, you know, the standard was really, really strong in Highland League. A lot of ex-pros that were playing in Highland League for various reasons. And, you know, you think of some of these guys, Mike Teasdale's, you know, the Ross Toklays and, you know, Gary Facker. It was up at, you know, I suppose he was at Wick, but he went to St Johnston, you know, and then you had the pick of, you know, Mike Nobles, Mike T, Teasdale, I don't know if I mentioned him already, Stuart Golobex, Richard Hastings, you know, a number of these guys that were on and played all the way through all the leagues that he'd managed to get hold of at early, you know, early stages in his Inverness. And I think in some ways when he came into Peterhead, he signed, obviously, the Polish lads that I mentioned, and there was a couple of other lads that he signed that were really good players. You know, obviously, Bobby Mann came in, and a guy Steve, was it Osted, that had kind of come up from England. But he also signed a few guys from the high league that he knew. And I think the level was quite surprising. You know, it's not just a case of cherry picking certain boys out of the high league and they could automatically go in and play in a League Two game. There's a massive gulf, and I don't think people in the high league necessarily realise that until they're doing it week in, week out. You know, if you think of the guys that have come out of the high league and attempted it, you know, even some of the very good ones, you know, have struggled in a lot of ways. And there's definitely players that could do it, undoubtedly players that could do it. But I just think we'll probably lost a lot of the ageing guys, that, you know, the Mark Perrys, the Robbie Raysides, the Sean McSkimmins, the Craig Tullys, that, you know, the guys that were the mainstays of the teams with Ian, the success was Ian Stewart, and they kind of came to the end of their careers and they moved on and they were replaced with players that, you know, possibly different experience levels and maybe different abilities. And it was a transitional period, and you know, there was talk of going full time, and that would have attracted a different type of player that you could have worked with day in, day out, and brought the levels up again. That didn't happen. So it was a transitional period, and so there was a, sorry, that was my tea. So I'm just saying no thanks, not just now. The transitional period that probably didn't get the time that it deserved to really see through. You know, if you're going to go through a transition like we were at that point, there has to be a level of time that's given to managers to manage that transition. And he probably didn't have that, is what I would say really is a summary of Steve's time.
Was Neil Cooper the only real choice to take over for him then?
Yeah, I mean, Neil was his number two, and very different characters. And Coops was absolutely hilarious, just, you know, laughing and joking all the time, just absolute bag of beans constantly in the wind-up, and, you know, just a really, really likable guy as well. And it seemed like the obvious choice, you know, when Steve left, and that kind of came out of the blue a wee bit, and Neil stepped in and took on the job, and it was a good fit at the time. It kept a bit of continuity, and it proved to be successful. We obviously brought Andy Dornan in for a period of time, and again, transitional in a lot of ways. You know, Neil's approach and Andy's was, you know, a lot of young guys from Aberdeen, the Davy Donalds, the Stuart Smiths, Davy Ross, and a lot of young guys came in from Aberdeen, good, capable players that were only going to get better playing games, and that worked out for a period of time as well, and great times under Coops, apart from one game. I remember we drew with Queen's Park in a horrifically windy day at Peterhead. I know that's a bit of a shock, but we drew 3-3 with Queen's Park up at Balmoor, and we should have beat them that day, and it was a Scottish Cup, and the winners were to play Celtic at Parkhead, so we had to go to Hampden on the Wednesday night to play, and we just didn't turn up. I think we beat 1-0. We didn't turn up, and Coops went absolutely bananas. So the laughing and the joking stopped that night. I tell you, he was in your face shouting, bawling. Face was bright red, calling you everything under the sun. You're like, yep, deserve that. And he turned every one of us, and we let him down that night. We let the club down that night, but that's a major disappointment, because that would have been, you know, a great experience to go back to Parkhead and in the Scottish Cup.
What was the difference between him and Steve then? Because obviously his first season, he got into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, totally different characters. Coops was far more energetic, just constantly on the wind up, you know, laughing and joking and just talking all the time, full of energy. You know, Steve was a more relaxed kind of guy, different approach, just different approach altogether. But they actually work really well together because they are opposites. Difficult to say again with Neil what ultimately went wrong, because we got in the playoffs, we probably punched above our weight that year for, in a lot of ways with the age of the squad that we had, and probably when you looked around the league at some of the other squads and players that they had, to do what we did that year was a great achievement, to get into the playoffs and kind of looking to kick on from there, really, with everybody kind of maturing and getting older and better, or in theory better, and it just didn't quite play out like that. So again, that was disappointing. And so Neil, I think it was a couple of seasons kind of later that it kind of ended for Neil, and that was a real shame.
I think he missed out in the playoff the following season, and then again a horrible kind of season for everybody associated with the club the following season. But I think this time round he got longer than maybe what was expected, and it wasn't until about the March before he was ultimately dismissed.
Yeah, that's right. He got he did get a lot of time, and I know he took it really personally. It was one of those, he was trying everything he could to try and turn fortunes around, but it was just one of those things. I think the key players maybe lost form or were injured, and it was one of those nightmare scenarios that no matter how hard you tried, it just seemed to get worse, and downward spiral, and you're looking around the dressing room thinking, we're far too good to be in this position, far, far too good to be in this position. It'll turn around, it will turn around, we'll improve, things will happen, we'll get a win, it'll just flip, it'll change everything. And it just never happened. And it was a horrible season, not something that anybody kind of wanted to be part of a relegation. But the two of them, you knew Andy and Coops personally as well, and you really felt for them. And personally, I took that one really hard, I think. Really disappointed that obviously we as a group couldn't stop the relegation.
Did you feel worse this time than you were when Ian Short left?
Probably, because I think at that point I was getting to become experienced, I suppose an experienced member of the squad at that point, and kind of had a big part to play. So when you're thinking of your go-to people, I would have said I was probably one of those in the Neil Cooper era, and so being one of those players in my own mind anyway, and not being able to kind of do more to help the team and to help Neil and Andy was disappointing. But whereas in the Ian Stewart era, I think in managerial sort of spell, there was a very much a balance. There was a lot of really good, capable players, and squad-wise, it was incredible. But so I probably took less personal responsibility. I think I'd done well in the Ian, and I think I did well in Neil's spell as well. I just probably had more expectation to just do more. Could I have done more? Could I have prevented the relegation? And I know I think single-handedly, no, you can't. But I suppose if everybody's in the same boat, the experienced lads that we had, the Callum McDonalds, and difficult. It was just one of those horrible circumstances and situations that everything went against us. But you do always ask, could I have done more? And I probably took that one worse than anything else.
And the appointment of John Sherrin, was that a surprise to you?
I suppose it was, yeah. John came in and, unbelievably good track record in Hein League. Won everything there was to win multiple times. And came in, and I think he was, he tried to raise the place, he tried to make it upbeat and positive. I think, he got the tail end of that season, and really there was no saving us at that point. I think when he came in, it was one of those that the kind of writing was on the wall, so to speak. And as much as he tried his best to change the kind of mentality around the place and bring it to a more positive kind of place, it just didn't happen. There wasn't that initial buzz that you normally get or kick that you get when you change managers. And you know, I just suspect maybe everything had been so flat at that point that it was almost an impossible task, perhaps.
Was he kind of maybe planning for the following season then, Jake?
Yeah, he definitely was. I mean, he brought in a lot of players during the summer, and clearly the ambition was to get back up first time. You know, John spoke very well, and you know, was really organised, and you know, he certainly did what he could for sure to try and change the fortunes. You know, over the summer, replace a lot of players. You know, bring in a bit more experience. You know, try and create a squad that was capable of then going straight back up. But I mean, again, the end of the season just continued in the lower league, and I don't know what the record was, but you know, I think we only drew one game at the start of that season. You know, with a reasonably positive pre-season, but then we went into the league. I think we probably only managed one draw that season. That you know, while John was there, so you know, again, that probably became pretty apparent pretty quickly that someone was going to give for John. And again, you could definitely argue that he didn't get a lot of time, but you know, clearly the club wasn't happy with the direction that we were going in and wanted kind of quicker change and quicker progression.
Yeah, one of the players that he brought in was a certain Rory McAllister. What was your first impressions of Rory when he joined?
Well, Rory had been there previously on loan from Inverness when I was you know, a few years earlier, and you know, he was a young lad at the time. And he then went on and did amazing things at Brechin and became a real top player at that level. And so no, it was a great signing for us. It's a major coup to get him in. And you know, I was looking forward to playing with him and kind of forging a partnership. So yeah, that's you know, that was a real positive from that time, I think, to get Rory in.
Was you kind of that kind of point of your career where you were now kind of almost showing him the ropes as opposed to how things were when you were, what was it, beginning?
I was definitely in the experience category at that point, yeah. Knew the club inside out, which can sometimes work against you, I suppose, when there's change of managers and what have you. But yeah, I think we're at difference. My game was changing. I probably lost a wee bit of pace at that point, which was always a massive thing for me in my game. Probably became more of the target than I had been previously. And I think we would have formed a, you know, a good partnership, but it didn't really kind of pan out. Like, I didn't have a huge amount of opportunities to do that during that stint. And, but I mean, Rory's obviously record speaks for itself. You know, he's done fantastically well, and he would have done well if he'd stepped back up. You know, the ladder as well. I think, you know, especially I was quite surprised when Rangers kind of, you know, so they went into the kind of lower league. That they didn't take a chance on him, because you know, he'd have scored barrel loads of goals for them through the leagues, and you know, probably all the way up to, and maybe even including the Premier League. It's hard to say, because so you never got the opportunity to see what could have happened. But you know, his record was phenomenal, and I'm surprised that, like, I'm surprised that there wasn't an option for him to kind of jump back up the divisions.
Jim McAnally took over. Again, sort of different characters, different characteristics, I should say. What was Jim like to work under in those early days?
Yeah, well, the interesting one, when John obviously left, there was a 3-week period where with a couple of games, we played Queen's Park and we played Montrose away, and I kind of took the team, and there was a couple of Charlie. I remember Roger phoned me and says, "Look, you know, I've just spoken to John, so he won't be kind of coming back. Could you do me a favour and contact the players and let them know? And could you take a team tomorrow?" I said, "Yeah, that's fine. No problem. I'll do that." So we're sitting in the kind of manager's office before the game against Queen's Park on Saturday, and Roger comes in with Charlie Duncan. He's like, "Here's Charlie. He's his got a bit of experience. He'll help you boys out today." I was like, "Oh, that's fine. Can you come, Charlie? Have a seat." So we end up sitting down. He says, "Right, what are we doing?" So we kind of ran through what we'd spoken about before the Barry Sellers was kind of helping me out. We kind of ran through what we thought for the day. I says, "Listen, right, the only position I'm not picking is the forwards." I says, I personally think I should play, but I don't know when to pick myself because it just didn't look very good." Right? So he says, no, you've got to play. And I guess the consensus was, "You've got to play." I says, "Right, fine, I'm happy. Because I think so too, right? But I didn't know what to be doing." And then he says, "Charlie, you've got to do us a favour here. Now that I'm playing, I can't stand up and name a team. So you need to do it. I'll take over after that. We'll do the team talk and we'll go through set pieces and that." I says, "I'll take care of all that. But what I need from you is you need to stand and read the team up because I can't read my own name out as playing." Yeah, no problem. So we get out the change. We come out the manager's office and into the changing room up in front of the board. And Charlie says, "Right, lads, I don't know any of you, so Bob's picked the team." I was like, "You thanks for that, Charlie, bro. That's just any of that that we've just spoken about." So, that was an interesting period. Hard work. You know, you want to make a bit of an instant impact. And I remember trying to sign a couple of players and during the week and back and forth on the phone to Roger, can we do this? Can we do that? Can we do and organising training sessions for, you know, in just that 3 weeks, it was really intense to get hot off to these guys that do it. But Jim obviously was then named, and we were up to watch Devon Vale who were playing Nairn, and I think we played Nairn in the cup just after he joined, and the game was at Banff. And so I met Craig Tully, who obviously I'd known from his stint in Jim at the Devon Vale game, kind of got to know him there, and really, really, really nice, good guy. A lot of time for Jim, must admit. He was a real nice guy, and different training methods. And I would say I learned quite a lot during that period. And, you know, at 31 year old or whatever I was at the time, you know, you think you've seen and done most things, but Jim's style was different, and his approach to kind of man management and his approach to training, and it was just different to anything that I'd had before. I thought a lot of Jim, really, really good. Obviously, new Tulls, Davy Nichols that came in with him as well, and, you know, good guys, and definitely a good appointment for the club.
Were you kind of at that point thinking about what was going to happen after you'd finished your career, or at least thinking maybe your time at Peterhead was coming up?
Probably not initially, no. Not initially. I think I was probably about 31, 32 maybe at that point. So I still kind of felt like I had a couple of good years left in me at playing. And for the first sort of year, sorry, dog might go mental, that's the door just gone. first couple of years, or first certainly first season, played well, you know, got a wee boost in fitness. Again, Jim's different sort of techniques and styles. We kind of fitness levels increased again, and I had a little bit of a kind of rosy spell there, and it was all good. And then I think towards the end of the following season, I went through a period of just tearing my hamstring constantly, and it was almost like a nervy feeling. It was a strange one, and it came from back problems that I'd been having. And every time I would train, it would go, and you'd kind of rest it for a few weeks and think it's okay again. You'd try it again, and it went again, and it went in two games. It went in a game at home to, I think it was East Fife, and then it went away to Stirling Albion. And at that point, I'm thinking, nah, I don't know if what would have been coming 33 at that point, and I'm thinking that it's early, but this is not good. The fact that I basically have to keep, you know, hamstring keeps tearing. So I think at that point I kind of made a decision. You know, I'm not going to play as much as I would like to play, or that will satisfy me as the person that I am. I want, like I say, I want to play, and not only do I want to play, but I always want to be like a key player for the team. And I knew at that point that that probably wasn't going to be the case. So again, sentiment, I could probably hang around and have another year or two, you know, playing a bit part, but that just wasn't me. So really difficult decision, because I'd had a fantastic 10 years at that point, and I just felt, for me, if I was going to play for another 2 or 3 years, I wanted to play every week, get my fitness levels up, you know, give myself the best chance to play every week as I kind of got older. And made the decision just to kind of leave at that point. And I'm not sure if it was a year early, or the way that it transpired at Inverurie, you know, could very well have been a year early, because my injury problems seemed to go away. Worked hard during the summer to kind of strengthen my core, and did a lot of kind of work with a hamstring. And maybe it was a year early, but just a decision I came to, and it was a sad end of a really, really good spell for me.
You did get a testimonial before you left, which in modern day football, it doesn't happen very often. You know, players that hang around in clubs very often, but the testimonial against Aberdeen, what's your kind of memories of that?
I remember the whole testimonial season. We had a dinner and we had a match, and was like grateful to Aberdeen for coming up and playing in the match. And you know, it was a horrendous night, and I think there was a massive Champions League game on, so you know, to get it to turn out that we did, it was probably a good thing. But I remember Roger was fantastic with me for that. You know, I really, really generous, and just very, very decent, and that I'm forever grateful to him, you know, for helping me organise the testimonial, and just some of the gestures he made around things that he could do and help with and organise. And it was a really, really nice gesture from the club. And it kind of cemented my feelings for my time at Peterhead. You know, fantastic, loved it, loved every minute of it, or certainly almost every minute of it. And good people, lots and lots of good people, try to do the right thing for a great club. And hugely grateful for the testimonial. And you know, a fitting way for, I suppose, for it to end, but didn't take away the sadness, obviously, when it did come to an end.
That's what I say. When you did sort of walk out the door for the last time, what was your thoughts?
It didn't dawn on me until I got in the car. We were sitting upstairs after the game, and I kind of said cheerio to a few people, and at that point, I don't know if it necessarily been communicated. And I just sat in the car and says, "Well, that's it. I want to be back there as a player again." And you're thinking, that's quite deep as far as kind of your kind of thoughts go. I wouldn't say I dwelled on it for a huge amount of time, but it was an end of an era, and you know, really, I suppose, sad when you think of it, because it 10 years of your life, and 10 great years of your life, and lots of good people, and I probably haven't got back as much as I would like to have got back, because of, you know, various other things that I do, and commitments, you know, kids football and playing until a few years ago. And yeah, I'd like to have got back. I think once we get clear of this and we're allowed people back in the stadiums, I'm definitely going to go back up. I've got an open invite, and I'm definitely going to take that up.
I'm sure you'll be welcome with open arms.
Aye, hopefully, and the team obviously want the team to do well and progress. They'll obviously look out for the result every week. And both my kids play now, but I kind of get a buzz out of that these days. You know, that's as, almost as good as playing yourself. And you know, it was one of the key reasons to retire, was so I could go and do that. I mean, the eldest travels around the country and plays all over the place, so there's quite a lot of travel involved in that. And it's supposed to start his journey. The youngest one's obviously a bit a bit younger and still very much local. But that's kind of my priority now. And weekend is where I get my buzz from. But I would definitely like to get back to Balmoor and see a few games, that's for sure.
Well, Martin, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. Enjoyed it immensely. You are one of the kind of legendary names for Peterhead in the recent years, if not the entire history of the club. So it's a thrill to have you on the podcast.
Well, thanks very much for having me. I've thoroughly enjoyed, brought back a lot of memories, things I hadn't thought of. And we're ripping through the various questions. So, no, I really, really appreciate it. And thanks again.
Well, thank you. No problem. Been a pleasure, as we said. And we wish you well.
Cheers, guys. I'll hopefully catch you when we're up at the games, once we're all out back.
That was our final part of our interview with former Blue Team player Martin Babbage. We'd like to thank Martin for giving us his time and express how grateful we are for him joining us on the podcast. We'll be back next week with another special interview, so keep an eye out on our social media for that. But until then, for Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byers, thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll see you very soon.